This evening at the supper table, I said to Brother Lee, what is the theme of the concert going to be? And I think I saw a slight smile go across his face, and he said, Jesus. And I thought, okay, I'm going to listen and see how that theme is woven. And sure enough, it was woven beautifully. We heard the gospel expounded in that hymn. I heard an old story leading to victory in Jesus. And then we heard kind of a gasp at the marvel of the gospel. Oh, the wonder of it all. It really is a wonder, isn't it? That God would ever care to save people like us. The major theme, if I could put it, of the concert has to do with the Lord's care for us. And there were several of the hymns that brought that up. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. How true that is. And then, tenderly he watches o'er me night and day. And consider the lilies. They toil not, neither do they spin. Your heavenly Father clothes them. The clothes are greater than those of Solomon's. Day by day, and the way that he loved. All of those has to do with the Lord's present care for his own in this life. And that leads to really an outpouring of praise to him. The Lord is my light and my salvation. And of course, not only praise to him, but a life of dedicated service to him. And we heard that, of course, we heard the expression of that in Betty Walker's lovely poem, asking the Lord not to let her die before her work was done. And then, of course, inevitably, the subject that's on more people's minds today, more Christians' minds than any other subject, the blessed hope. And we've had that before us all week, and so it was fitting that we would hear Emmanuel's Land played so beautifully tonight. It's a lovely hymn. 19 verses. I haven't heard them all sung yet, but there are 19 verses of that hymn. The king there in his beauty without a veil is seen. It were a well-spent journey, though 7 deaths lay between. The Lamb with his fair army doth on Mount Zion stand, and glory, glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land. And then I think that tremendous burst of praise and worship and adoration to the Lord, all hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. So Brother Lee was right. The theme was Jesus. And woven beautifully, if I may say so. I just like to go back to the first, because I know that you like to hear the gospel at a time like this. And I've been telling stories about the gospel all week. And I think if I didn't tell another tonight, the folks would think I had backslidden. I live in an apartment building. It has 17 apartments in it. And I've been there 20 years, so the people all know me. I have a little plaque on my door. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I think when the people go by my door, they kind of detour around it, lest they become infected. You know? But I catch them by guile. Every Christmas, I put Christian books down in the laundry. And they can go, and they can get a book with the gospel in it, and nobody sees them. That's very important. Very important. There's a book and there's a little box of Andy's candies tied onto the book. That's the bait. And this might be an idea for some of you, dear people. Really. The books always go. Nobody sees them take it. I mean, they'd never take it if anybody saw them take it. A few years ago, a dear lady upstairs went to the hospital with cancer. Cancer. Chain smoker. Poor dear Marge. The same week she went to the hospital, her husband Bill went totally blind with diabetes. What a week in the life of any couple, huh? The wife goes to the hospital with terminal cancer, and Bill is stricken with total blindness. One day I went down into the lobby to open the mailbox, and Bill was there groping around. And he said to me, I should explain to you, he's really a wicked man. He has a most profane mouth. So bad the building owner had to speak to him about it. He said to me, Marge is in the hospital. I said, oh, I'm sorry to hear that, Bill. He said, would you go and visit her? I said to him, Bill, I would do anything for you folks at a time like this. Would it be all right if I read the scriptures to her and prayed? And he started to cry. He started to cry there in the lobby of the building. And he blubbered, it would be all right with me. So I went up to Eden's hospital, and it was a bad day to go for a visit. She had just finished her last chemotherapy treatment, and she was in a visitor's room there, and there were a lot of people there, so I just kind of got down on my knees by the side of her chair and prayed. A couple of weeks later, I was out on the sidewalk, and somebody from the Lions Club was taking Bill for a walk, and I said to him, did Marge tell you I visited her in the hospital? He said, no. He said, she's coming right up here to the convalescent hospital tomorrow. And I thought to myself, you better visit her. But you know, we have a terrible habit of procrastinating, don't we? It wasn't really a thing that I was eager to do, I have to confess. But the Lord got a hold of me the Saturday before Mother's Day. Said, you better go. So I did. I went to the convalescent hospital. I finally found her room, and it was darkened. And I went in. What do you say? It's kind of an inane question at a time like that. And I stood on one foot, and then I stood on the other foot and went in. What do you say? I should pause to say I'm not an evangelist. You probably detected that by this time. I said to her, Marge, you know, the most wonderful thing in the world is to be saved. And there was a solemn stillness. And then she said, very weak voice, she said, I know. But she said, I've never been able to do it. I said, do it. Do it. Do it. Salvation by work, huh? That's what went through my mind. Salvation by work. What did she... I said, Marge, you know, it's not by anything you do that you get saved. It's not through your works of righteousness. It's not through joining a church. They never darkened a church. That wasn't an issue. It's not through it. And she said... I know. And she was lying almost motionless on the bed. Well, I said, do you think you should do it? And she said, yes, but I've never been able to do it. And I said to her, Marge, it's so easy. I said to her, really, all you have to do is say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. But I believe you died for sinners. And the best way I know how, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. And she looked up at me. And she said with that weakened voice, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. And then she looked up at me as much as to say, what was the rest of that? I said, I believe you died for sinners. And she repeated it after me. I didn't ask her to. I never asked her to say anything. She said, I believe you died for sinners. I said, the best way I know how, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. And she said, the best way I know how, I receive you as my Lord and Savior.
I prayed with her and left and wondered, was that just a profession or was she real? I went back a few days later and I said, Marge, do you have peace? She said, I have peace. 2 weeks later, I preached her funeral. And after I preached her funeral, I learned she had read every book she had ever taken from the laundry. Sow the seed for 20 years, God uses it. And she had read every book she had ever taken from the laundry. Her husband came to me and he said, would you take Marge's funeral? I said, I'll take it on one condition, that you not try to pay me. Because you know they all think, oh, well, all they want is your money. I said, that's the only condition I'll take it on, that you not try to pay me. I said, sit down, Bill. Let me tell you what happened in her room before she died. And he sat down and listened. And he said, would you tell that at the funeral? He said to me, I said, well, that will be the funeral message. She preached her own funeral message. And shortly after that, a knock came on my door, and it was her adult son by a previous marriage. And he said, I've come to ask you if you'd take my mother's funeral. I said, I've already told Bill I would take the funeral as long as he didn't try to pay me. And he said, would you tell that story? And I said, yeah, but sit down and let me tell you first. I wanted to get the most mileage out of it possible. And so he sat down. You know, that dear fellow's in eternity today. He died not long ago. Cancer in one of the eyes, and it had spread. It's so simple. Dear friend, if you're here tonight without the Lord Jesus, it's so simple. Look up into his face and from the bottom of your heart say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. But I believe you died for sinners. And the best way I know how, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. When you do that, God saves you. And you can know it on the authority of the Word of God. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for this privilege that we've had to hear this tabernacle resounding with praises to your great name. And oh Lord, you're worthy, worthy of it all, and far more in addition. Our hearts have been lifted up as we've been reminded of our blessed Savior and his tender care for us and the hope that shines before us tonight. And of course our prayer is, as always, that if there is someone here and they've heard all this, they know the gospel message, and yet they belong to the group known as the fearful and unbelieving. We pray that they might step over the line tonight and say yes to the Son of God. We ask it in his worthy name and for his glory. Amen.